name, I'm putting words in their mouth, but this is the summary. The four Gospels contain hopeless contradictions about the resurrection of Jesus. Such suggested contradictions include varying numbers of angels, when women visited, and even certain of the visits of Jesus. So, what is the reality? What's the actual case here? It was never the intent of the writers to write the same story. You know, that could have been done. They could have all written the same story and then signed their names at the bottom or the top. None of the Gospels give all of the details. That's the point of it, that not one gives all the details. It's only by comparing the stories that we find all the details of the true history. Thinking about it, from a strictly human point of view, we would not expect four witnesses to tell exactly the same story in exactly the same order. That never happens. From the viewpoint of inspiration, God doing the writing, God would communicate, first of all, only truth. But then he might choose to communicate all the important details by different authors. That's up to him. So recognize also that there is no differences given concerning the main points of the story. That's all quite the same. If there were, then the claim of contradictions would actually hold some weight. But as it is, these are just differences in the details, and that what the actual truth is that the differing details are considered cumulative, supplementary. One tells one part, the other tells the other. We put it together, we get the full story. What are the examples of suggested contradiction? I'll give you two. When the women visited the tomb, that little detail, when did they get there? One of the seeming contradictions concerns the time the women came to the tomb. Mark says they came at the rising of the sun. John says Mary Magdalene came before sunrise while it was yet dark. Once we recognize, however, that the journey on foot was a long one, we may understand the differences easily. let me run through what I think actually happened, and you can begin to see why they were there at different times and for different purposes. At sunset on Saturday, the first day of the week began for the Jews. The sunset of the Sabbath day began the first day of the week. And the group of women at that point set out to visit the tomb. They wouldn't go during the Sabbath. That would be a Sabbath journey type of thing. But after the sundown, they went. They set out to visit the tomb during the fourth watch, which in our time is between 3 and 5 a.m. So that's pretty dedicated right there. Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was passed, sunset, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. The him being the dead body of Jesus. We see that Mary Magdalene walked quickly enough to arrive ahead of the group while it was still dark. Perhaps she wasn't engaged in the womanly conversation that slowed them down. Maybe she was younger, healthier, I don't know. Maybe she had longer legs. Maybe she just walked faster. But she walked quickly enough to get there before the group and while it was still dark. John 20, verses 1 and 2. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Once she saw that, she is like the alarm went off. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. She turns around and goes all the way back to where the disciples were. She comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John talking about himself. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So this is how she got there while it was still dark. Now, the rest of the women arrived a little later and are visited by an angel. Mark 16:2, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So that's when they just got there, at the rising of the sun. In Mark 16:5 to 7, entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Evidently, Mary Magdalene had seen the stone rolled away, looked in enough to see there was nobody laying on the slab, and turned around and ran. These ladies actually go in to look. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. The appointment made to meet them in Galilee. So the group, without Mary Magdalene, now leave the tomb to obey the command of the angel and to go tell the disciples. Jesus meets them on their way. Matthew 28, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, reminding them of that appointment, and there they shall see me. So the group of women continued on to report to the disciples. They found Mary Magdalene there. So they're all together again. Luke 24, returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now there was enough, two reports having come in like this. Peter and John then do pursue the claims, women, you know, pursued the claims. They go running off to that. So Mary Magdalene then, we find, having delivered her message to the disciples, she returns alone to the tomb. She's upset. They've taken the body. We don't know where it is. That's her thinking. John 20, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. This time she actually peeks inside. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. She was not expecting a living Jesus. Her eyes were full of tears. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. What a reunion. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, stop touching me is actually what it means, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He's talking about how now that they are in the family, it's a relationship there. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So is this a contradiction that Mary was there when it was dark and the others were there at sunrise? No, just indicates they were there at different times. The second example of calling it a contradiction is the number of angels at the tomb. Matthew and Mark speak of one angel. Matthew 28, behold, there was or had been a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, these are Roman soldiers, by the way, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, this is taken right out of where the women come and find this situation. The angel said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. one angel. In Mark, when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment. They were affrighted. He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. So one angel speaking. Luke and John speak of two angels. Luke 24, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. The shining garments shows that they were the angels. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living, or him that liveth, among the dead? When Christ himself meets the two on the road to Emmaus, they report to him, Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and said that he was alive, which the angels which said he was alive. And then John, Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down, looked into the sepulchre, seeth two angels in white sitting. And we read that earlier. So, is this a contradiction? Well, Luke and John do say that they spoke, but there's only one, the record of only one speech. So if you came up to a group and one of them spoke, you could say later that the people of that group spoke to you. There's no contradiction here unless Luke and John were to say, or that the ones who said one angel would say that there was only one, and then the others would say, no, but there was two. This doesn't happen. It just shows that there was two and one of them spoke. Then the easy term they spake to him is understandable. All right. Then the important thing to come away with this is that such little things like this, rather easily understood, are all of the so-called contradictions. That the unified consensus of the important points is complete. Jesus died and was buried. His resurrection caught the disciples by surprise. The appearances of Jesus after his resurrection are consistent. Then the event occurred in Jerusalem. It all happened there. All of these things, no question, no contradiction, no variation. So the logical conclusion, the great scholar Wilbur Smith said this, in these fundamental truths, there are absolutely no contradictions. The so-called variations in the narratives are only the details which were most vividly impressed on one mind or another of the witnesses of our Lord's resurrection or on the mind of the writers of these four respective Gospels. The closest, most critical examination of these narratives throughout the ages never has destroyed and can never destroy their powerful testimony to the truth that Christ did rise from the dead on the third day and was seen of many. So, contradictions, it's not contradictions. When eyewitnesses and others report and they give different details, if they were all telling the truth, those details would be supplementary and not contradictory. Comments or questions?